A brand from the 60s counterculture tries to become more 2016. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Rolling Stone magazine is selling just about half of itself to a music startup in Singapore. The development today comes as print ad sales are down for the magazine and Rolling Stone is pushing its digital presence. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has some more here. Good morning, Lewis.
Good morning.
So Rolling Stone was the definition of cool. Gonzo writers like Hunter S. Thompson, the movie Almost Famous. But get us up to date.
Well, Rolling Stone is still doing serious reporting, still focused on the music industry, but it's gotten a lot harder to sell a print magazine. So if you flip through a Rolling Stone recently, you'll see a lot more of the kind of Billboard top 10 and gossip column energy in the magazine. The company is also growing in other directions. More of its readers are online than in print at this point.
So now 49% to an outfit in Singapore called BandLab. What's this?
Well, apparently this deal came partly out of a personal connection between Gus Wenner, who's the 26-year-old in charge of the digital side of Rolling Stone, son of co-founder Jan Wenner, and BandLab CEO Kwok Myng-ru. He's 28 years old and the son of a palm oil tycoon in Singapore. BandLab owns a group of companies focused on musicians and fans. For example, it has a music sharing service that's kind of like SoundCloud, but more musician-oriented. And it seems like this deal is about expanding into Asian audiences, but also into different types of interactions with audiences.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. We've covered the collapse of some big for-profit colleges, First Corinthian, now ITT Tech. One of the groups that accredits colleges like these will no longer be recognized by the U.S. Department of Education. It's called the Accrediting Council for Independent Colleges and Schools, ACICS. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
Accrediting organizations are supposed to make sure schools that get a stamp of approval are doing a good job. The Department of Education says the one we're talking about, ACICS, didn't do that. Robert Kelchin researches higher education at Seton Hall University and says that means a scramble.
Within 18 months, all these colleges have to find a new accreditor or their students will lose federal financial aid.
We are talking about billions of dollars in aid for hundreds of thousands of students, more than 200 schools.
They're going to have a tough time getting accredited, and they might fold.
Christine Lindstrom is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. She says the Department of Education is sending a warning.
It's telling other accreditors that they really need to step up their game.
ACICS has appealed the decision, calling the department's conclusions arbitrary and capricious. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
There's been an apology over the weekend from the inventor of the Oculus Rift, a pioneering virtual reality headset later sold to Facebook for a fortune. Palmer Luckey had boasted that he had been bankrolling an online group called Nimble America that supports Donald Trump, published reports say, by posting incendiary, sometimes bigoted memes about Hillary Clinton. Palmer now says he's, quote, deeply sorry his actions are negatively impacting Oculus and its partners. He suggests he's interested less in the Trump part of this and more in promoting the technique of what's called, actually I can't say on the air what it's widely called, it's called excrement posting, only it's the S word instead of the E word. Marketplace's senior technology correspondent Molly Wood joins us from the Silicon Valley with more. Hi, Molly.
Hi, David.
So this famous and now rich virtual reality pioneer seems to be interested in dabbling in politics.
I guess you could call it that, a form of politics. Yes, it was revealed that Palmer Luckey, who founded Oculus, has been providing financial backing to this political organization that is ostensibly pro-Trump, but its mission statement really reads more like sort of an internet troll group. What they have been doing is posting pro-Trump messages and very provocative memes designed to kind of outrage and spark conversation.
Well, that would put it into the context of trolling, I guess. I mean, that
yes.
Maybe diminishes it some, but that's what trolling is.
Their goal is a little bit fuzzy. This group sets itself up as a pro-Trump organization, But what the essence of trolling really is to get people angry at you. And it sort of is a way to like gamify conversation. And what's really interesting is that a lot of times the actual belief system behind the conversation is not as important as scoring points. And the way that you score points is to either get attention, get national attention for something that you've said, whether you believe it or not. And the other way that you score points is to provoke anger at something you may not necessarily even believe. You just think it's funny that you got someone to notice you. It's a very ultimately apolitical and kind of nihilistic worldview. And that is what trolling is all about.
Mr. Lucky doesn't care about his career anymore. I mean, there's already people posting that they're upset that they own the Oculus VR virtual reality headset that he designed. Doesn't own anymore. It's now Facebook. But they're upset because It's now associated with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's a very real question, and it's one that Facebook is going to have to face. Palmer Luckey is still involved with the company in some form, and it is definitely dangerous to the brand, to say nothing of what it could mean for the Oculus brand down the road.
All right. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood in Silicon Valley. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
Luckey's virtual reality rig got early funding from contributions from the gaming community and an online Kickstarter campaign. Later, Facebook bought it for $2 billion. And the estimates are that Luckey's net worth is about $700 million now. He is 24. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.